Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Big Jim, joined with my partner in crime.
Little Goody.
Little Goody, yes. Trapless Goody.
Not so little.
Not so little. And it's a happy Easter. A bloody hate Easter. We'll get onto that. But we'll be discussing a crazy weekend in Premiership Rugby, where almost all the teams that lost, Andrew, last week, they won this week. So it's a mental block for them. So still virtually nothing to choose between about eight of the teams. Plus, we'll be chatting about the TMO, Andrew, your expertise, the blunder regarding a sin bin, my expertise.
We certainly will, James. Not just that one either. Loads of blunders this weekend.
Yeah, I didn't want to go too hard because it's Easter. But that was in the Quins and Bath match, and Bath ain't happy.
They're certainly not. We're going to take a look at a massive win for Leinster over the Bulls in the URC in the top of the table clash, and we're going to throw ahead to a mouthwatering weekend of Investec Champions Cup rugby as we reach the round of 16.
And there's massive news. I don't need to tell you, Andrew. We're all over it. Not just in rugby, but everyone across the pond's talking about it as well. Lewis Rees-Zammit signs for Super Bowl champions. My team, basically, because I'm a big fan of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Kansas City Chiefs, 3-year deal. Unreal.
Unreal. Hey, how bizarre that Jim Hamilton is a glory boy and supports the team that wins the Super Bowl back to back. But anyway, we'll get onto that later. Great news for Lewis Rees-Zammit. We'll chat about that. So settle back, enjoy, and make sure you've subscribed on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Happy Easter, Andrew.
Yes, James, happy Easter. We are recording on Easter Monday. It's bank holiday. How was your Easter, Jim? Because we've got stories. We have got stories. Where are you, first and foremost? You look like you're in the Wolfpack bar.
I hate Easter. I'm in the Wolfpack bar. So we've driven down to Coventry in the minibus ahead of, ready, drum roll, got a big holiday lined up.
Yes.
At the weekend.
Dubai?
No. No sun.
No sun. Okay. Ah, you're going skiing.
I'll give you some hints.
You're taking the family skiing. No.
Similar. Lodges. There's going to be wooden lodges.
You're going to...
A lot of arguing.
A lot of... it's only one place. Centre Parks.
Oh, God. I hate it. I've got to be careful what I say. Andrew, you know, Bex told me I'm not allowed to moan. I'm ungrateful. It's family time. Extended family time as well. We're heading to Sherwood Forest, Robin Hood territory. But we've come down a week early just to kind of get moving, you know, get the kids in sync and stuff like that, even though there's no time zones.
Yeah, jet lag.
I feel jet lagged, I'll be honest. I bloody hate Easter. So really? I'm out of the house. So yes, I'm in the Wolfpack bar. Well, Beck's dad doesn't have Wi-Fi. I can't moan.
What?
He's got no Wi-Fi. I know. Well, he has, but it don't work properly.
Okay. But how was the drive down? Four kids in the minibus. How many hours? 6 hours?
Six or seven.
Okay, just add another one. Make it eight.
But on that, Andrew, you know, there's obviously been a few things going on at home. I probably haven't been that honest with you, but I just wanted to lay it out here on the podcast now. I just thought it might be a good time to talk about it. So we've got a minibus, right? So there's an 8-seater Volkswagen Caravelle. Look, $1 million in it. Look like an absolute good driving around in that. But there's one extra seat free, Andrew. So big news, mate.
What?
Big news.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That extra seat. Yeah, the extra seat. Yeah.
You got another dog?
No, no other dogs. No other cats. Another human is in the mixer, mate.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Are you serious?
No, it's an April Fool's, Andrew. But I got you.
I didn't know whether to say congratulations or commiserations because I know how hard it is with four.
It would be commiserations, Andrew. I just thought I'd need a bit of banter. So on my train from Coventry to London, I was stood up because there's no fucking seats because this country is in a world of bother. I was thinking, I just need a bit of banter. So I'm going to tell Andrew on the podcast tomorrow. It's April Fool's. Absolutely shocking. But look, I feel like I'm being really harsh on my family. I'm not, I do love my family,
yeah.
But I love being out the house,
yeah.
Especially when there's no Wi-Fi and we've got this big lead in into Easter. The kids are off the rockers on chocolate. And we've got the big excitement of centre parks to look forward to. So I was like, I need to get out of the house, Beck. Please, I'm begging you. It got to the point, Andrew, like, as in she knows there's an issue because we went to see John Mayer on Wednesday night in Glasgow,
yeah.
Right? So it's a bit of an like a weird concert because you sat down, so you're not jumping around and stuff like that. It's quite calm. And I'm about 8 pints deep. And she's like, Jim, what are you doing? I was like, I need a blowout, Beck.
Did you tell her you love her?
No, I fell asleep in the car on the way home, so it would have came. But she knows there's an issue because I'm saying to my wife on a Wednesday night that I need a blowout.
Yeah.
Right? We need one of their Miami nights.
We do, mate.
That's what we need.
We do. We need a trip away. We need it. We'll have to be on hold, mate, because we've got a few travels ourselves over the next few weeks, haven't you?
Yes, I'm off to Japan.
Yeah. You can have a blowout in Japan, get the sake in.
I've heard Japan's loose. I've never been. I've heard it is proper loose over there.
Yeah, I've been, mate. It is loose. It is. I'm trying to get on your trip just for the crack. Can I come?
You can 100% come.
Yes. I've got 10, 11 days away with the family. We're going to Dubai. So this will be my last pod for a few weeks, actually, Jim. I'm going to take a bit of a break and spend some family time. Maybe I shouldn't do that after what you've just said. But anyway, we're off to Dubai for 11 days. And then you're off to Japan. Japan is loose, my friend. Japan is loose.
I've heard this. I just can't see it. I'm looking forward to it.
Underground.
I'll be honest.
You'll find a lot of underground places.
Underground. Well, we're talking about Japan, Andrew. I'm keen to go underground. But I said at the beginning of the show, I'm a massive Kansas City Chiefs fan. I'm just all over it. You know who's got me into it? Ravo, the Sloke.
Yeah.
So me and him have been going back and forth on NFL for the last couple of years. He's a Ravens fan. Get it? Baltimore Ravens, Sam Raven, banter.
Of course, banter.
Yeah, yeah. But we've fallen in love with the Kelce brothers, so we are now Kansas City fans. And the fact that Lewis re-signed it, they couldn't have, it was written in the stars. So what I'm trying to say is we need a trip away. Maybe that's the trip.
The problem is with Kansas, it's in the middle of nowhere, right in the middle of America. It's not a, I'm sure you can find parties there, I'm sure, but it's not a party scene. But what a thing for Lewis Re-Sammet. You know, everyone was jumping on the bandwagon and go, oh, he's never going to make it. There's all these players that have played years of it. You know, we've watched his progress. We were buzzing for him, weren't we? We were so excited for him to just say, listen, I want to go and give this a crack. Yes, there's an opportunity to live the dream and play in the NFL. And it's not just his dream. It's his dad's dream, right? Because his dad played when he was growing up, and he's spoken about how his dad is his role model and his hero, and he wants to, you know, do something that impresses his dad and looks up to his dad and all that stuff. And he's going to earn a boatload of money, and he's going to have an amazing time. And some people would have been like, yeah, he'll just be on a practice squad, whatever, or he'll be on this pathway and he might not make it. We were buzzing for him going, actually, he's proper athletic. He's got physical attributes that not many, if any, have had in rugby. The out-and-out speed. He's gone over there, taken a massive gamble, obviously told Gats a couple of nights before the Six Nations were starting, he's out of there. What a decision that was as well after seeing Wales win the wooden spoon. And I looked into it. International player pathway that he's on, some people just get put with a team on a practice squad to try and sort of develop them and give them opportunity. Nah, he's been signed directly. The Kansas City Chiefs have seen him. They've liked what they've seen, come after him. And it's not a, he's affiliated to this team, you know, like some of the other guys are just going to be placed with teams to gain experience. He's been signed on a 3-year deal directly from the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl back-to-back winning Kansas City Chiefs, the best team in the NFL, because they've seen something in him and they've made the choice. And it's not, oh, lads, can you just have Lewis Re-Sammet and give him a shot? He has gone out there, trained his nuts off, impressed people with his top off, looking $1 million, his hair's on point. He has trained the house down, evidently. We've seen all the snippets around the trial days and everything like that. And the biggest team with the biggest superstars, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, you got to say Taylor Swift, she's on the roster as well, basically, have come after him. It is the dream. And apart from it's Kansas City, which ain't a great place, it is the dream for him. I'm so pumped.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. Yeah, there's a song with Kansas City where it's named a couple of times. It's always made me want to go. But there's not a part of me that, oh my gosh, you know, rugby, we've lost the biggest star or one of the biggest stars in our game. So it's a tragedy for rugby. This is a positive, right?
Yeah.
Because now people are talking about rugby in America. The World Cup's there in 7 years' time. You don't need me to go over old ground. a lot of people are saying, oh, it's just a PR spin from the NFL UK and the Player Pathway Program. What, because Kansas City need any more PR than they've already got?
Yeah,
you know what? Chatting to Ravo's arm about it, even if it was, and what? You know what I mean? Like, as in, and what? That's what they do well. This is what we need to embrace in our game, is the PR around it. Is Lewis Rees-Samet guaranteed to play a game in the NFL? No, he's not.
No.
Has he been signed on a 3-year deal on 3, 4, 5, 6 times the amount of money he was on as a rugby player? Yes. Is that success in itself? Absolutely. I think it's absolutely epic for him.
Yeah.
Like him, his family, the game. I know he's really tight with his brother as well. You mentioned the reference to his dad. And look, I haven't got a clue about NFL. I'm not going to sit here and talk about plays and where he's going to fit in. But all the stuff that you're hearing about it, around the new kickoff scenario that they've got, he can run it back, similar to rugby in that counter-attack style. That's as probably as limited as where I understand where he can potentially fit in as a running back or whatever his position's going to be.
I think he'll either be in the special teams, so they've changed the kickoffs, which will suit him in terms of how the kickoffs are now defended, or he'll be a wide receiver or a running back. So, you know, it's not like the Kansas City Chiefs need someone like that, but they've obviously seen enough in him, and it will fit into one of those three brackets: wide receiver, running back, or special teams, kick return. And, mate, I'm pumped for him.
Yeah, and with that there, so I interviewed Adam Durda ages ago, and we were talking obviously about the NFL because he's the first and the only English coach. He was coaching the Dallas Cowboys at the time. I think he's now at Atlanta or somewhere. He's moved anyway. And I said about players coming from rugby into NFL. He mentioned Jordan Mulata, who is an Australian rugby league player who's gone on and made millions of pounds and is playing for Philadelphia Eagles at the minute. We were talking about Christian Wade, and he was the closest he's seen for a player that's come from rugby union or league who could play in a position like that, where you're a running back, for example, and the glitz and the glamour. And I said, well, why didn't he make it? Like, what was the thing with Wadey? Because he was close. He signed for the Buffaloes. And he was like, in the NFL, you can have all the athleticism in the world, which they clearly do. He's like, it's about the feel. And we know this, right? Again, just talking to Ravo's arm about it. Like the two-step lob, you know if someone's on your shoulder or not.
Yeah.
Zip! You go back and you know that you're winning it, right? I understand a little bit about the feel of a game. So if you've been playing a game since you were a kid, your feel and your peripheral vision and stuff like that around where other players are, it's just kind of there. You either have that or you don't, but obviously you learn that over years and years. And that's what Wadey didn't have. It was the feel of understanding where players were around him. This is coming from Adam Durda, the coach. I've got no idea, just to reiterate. But that will be it. Where if Zam goes into it, having watched the NFL growing up and understanding the space, and maybe even the way that he played rugby union as well. You know, when you get that ball in open space off the kickoffs, for example, if he finds a point of difference where he catches the ball once and he lights up a stadium, whether it be a sold-out stadium, whether it be in training, wherever it may be, he's made it.
Yeah.
Because if you even get close at the Super Bowl champions, if you even get close, he's made forever, because then any team will sign him.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's gone to the top of the tree, the top of the log, the best of the best, the team that not just NFL or rugby are now talking about, everyone's talking about Kansas City Chiefs, because NFL are a sport that have transcended its own game.
Yeah.
NFL's the biggest sport in the world by some distance. So I'm buzzing for him. I think it's wicked for him. It's great for the NFL. It's great for NFL UK, the Pathway Program. Great for young aspiring athletes globally. And it's also good for rugby as well, that we're sat here on the rugby pod on a boring Easter Monday getting waxed lyrical about Lewis Rees-Samet.
Yeah, pumped for him. Let's watch his journey and celebrate, hopefully, every little win he has along the way. And pumped is the word.
Should we snap back into a bit of reality now and talk about the dregs or the Scarlets or Newcastle?
We can't talk about the Scats. The Scats, I mean, they're a disgrace. They're the disgrace this week, and we'll come on to that later. But yes, I mean, we've seen a lot of rugby this weekend, Jim. There's been some Premiership to talk about. There's been URC, Investec Champions Cup back this weekend. Simon, where do we start? Referees.
Where should we start?
Referees.
Yeah, go on. Oh. Referee. You know what? I actually enjoy it. As in, like, people again on social media are going off on it. Look, I say I enjoy it, because the comical interactions I've seen on social media, and if you go back to the beginning of the show, I've needed a bit of a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
So the drama I've quite enjoyed. But actually, when you break it down, I'll let you go into it. Should we start with Luke Pearce telling Finn Smith to hurry up? And Luke, we love you.
Yeah.
I love you. And I do like the 5-4-3, the countdown on the box kicks that you brought into the game on Friday night under the lights at Northampton versus Sarries. I didn't like you telling Finn Smith to hurry up the kick. Like, he didn't need to hurry up the kick. Like, I know there's a shot clock. He didn't need to do that, Luke. But out of all the decisions all the rest of the weekend, you were probably the best again, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a bit of back and forth with Luke. And as you know, and as everyone knows, I've got a lot of time for him. Love him to bits. Great referee. And he's like, who wants to sit there and watch a kicker just standing looking at a ball? Yes, there's a shot clock. He's like, we've got a responsibility to speed the game up, make it more entertaining. And I agree with him. Like, I get the shot clock's there, and then you bring in the spirit of the game. Is it in the spirit of the game to stand there and waste time with the shot clock?
What does the spirit of the game mean? I don't understand this, bollocks. I just don't get it. Sorry, Luke. What does that mean?
The spirit of the game, well, they're winning pretty comfortably at the time, Northampton are. He's got a conversion straight in front of the sticks, and he's within his rights to stand there and just let the clock go down and down and down and down and down. I saw one a few years ago in the top 14. It was to win a game. It might have been Ruan Pienaar, and it looked awful. He's just letting the shot clock go down to 3 seconds, so the time at the end of the game goes over 80 minutes. He kicks it, they win the game, game over. And I get it, it's gamesmanship, it's playing to the laws, but I thought he was right. Just get on with it. Just take the conversion. I did say to him, would you have said it to Faz if it was the other way around? And Luke came back to me. He goes, yeah, 100%.
No. Sorry, Faz. Yeah.
100% I would have, but Faz probably wouldn't have kicked it. So I don't know. Listen, that's not the biggest issue in the game. I like that issue because he's trying to speed the game up, make it more entertaining.
But just on Luke, Andrew, me and you know, and so does Luke, that rules are rules. When we were down in Exeter and he's buffaloed a drink,
yeah,
we've told him.
And he did
Luke,
it.
That's a buffalo.
He did it.
Now, rules is rules. And he did it quick as well. You know, there was no arguing. It was like, Jim, Goody, the rules are the rules. So regardless of my missus or his missus agreeing with him chopping a pint unresponsibly, he had to do it. And it's the same as Finn Smith. If there's a minute to go, take the minute, mate. The rules are the rules, like Michael Holford said.
Yeah.
And you need to abide by them. So Luke, all right, I love you. Out of all the, I'm going to call it blunders of the weekend, it was minimal, but you need to be called out on that and you'll be chopping a pint next time we see you.
Yeah, I'm going to defend him. I'll chop a pint for him because I'm all right with it. Speeding up the game, there's no need for it. I've been there for a conversion where you just don't need to waste time. Just get on with it. But there we go.
Before we get into the other ones, we maybe just kind of piggyback the referee TMO chats with the games. Big shout out to Saints. Mentioned under the lights on Friday against Saracens, almost fully loaded. Well, they were fully loaded. Maratoji, the only one that wasn't playing. Saints bounced back from a comfortable win for Bristol down there, like we've seen across the Prem all weekend. Yeah. Saracens smoked Harlequins in the game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And look, this is the thing, right? And we can go through the games, Goody. You can see how emotionally you need to be at that level every single week, and it's almost an impossible thing to do off the back of the Six Nations, coming back into Prem Rugby, 2 weeks of that and then into the Champions Cup if you're in the round of 16, which Saracens clearly are. But Northampton looked sensational. Saracens slightly off. Big shout out to Northampton, though. Looked wicked.
Finn Smith was class. People said the week before Owen Farrell absolutely schooled Marcus Smith. Well, this time Finn Smith schooled Owen Farrell, if that's the case. Saints were great. Offloading game, Dingwall was good. They scored a wonderful try from Tommy Freeman, just little hands around the corner. Finn Smith fixes, straightens up. It was class from Saints, but Sarries fought back. They got 2 bonus points, a losing one and 4 tries, which they're going to be massive, absolutely massive for them. So, yeah, good from Saints. Very good, powerful. The opposite of what they were down at Bristol the week before. But Sarries, bless them, they're a 6-day turnaround. Does make a difference.
Yeah, it does. And that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. Trying to get to the emotional levels on a 6-day turnaround off the back of a Six Nations, it's a thing.
Yeah.
Imagine if you're La Rochelle and having travelled down to South Africa. Look, let's leave it. I'm not going to get negative.
But yeah, kudos to Saints. Kudos to Saints and to Sarries. There we go. Where should we go next? Should we go to the other Friday night game, Jim, and the 100-minute game between Newcastle Falcons and Leicester, my old clubs?
Let's do it.
All my scrums. Oh, my scrums. It was carnage. Leicester have done exceptionally well to hang on for a ridiculous amount of time in that second half. And when the clock goes into the red for about 20 minutes with all the yellow cards they got, it was going on for that long that some of the players that got yellow carded when it was over 80 minutes, came back on, Jim. It was ridiculous. Carl Dixon was the referee. Newcastle messed up a little bit, and they've improved hugely under Steve Diamond, so we've got to give them a shout out. And Dimes has done very good things in a short space of time. They were good down at Exeter last week. A couple of errors cost them. This week they could have and probably should have beaten Leicester. They just kept taking scrum after scrum after scrum, which, as you know, eats up the clock. You know, it ended up being a 100-minute game. And fair play to Leicester, they defended like their season depended on it, really, because it did. If they didn't get the win up at Newcastle, their top four chances were probably gone. And he comes on the pod, Finn Carnduff.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Yeah,
comes
friend
on.
Friend of the show.
Comes off the bench up at Newcastle. There was a few youngsters on the bench for Leicester, and he gets the penalty. The commentators gave it to Jasper Visa, but I watched it, and I'm basically saying it's Finn Carnduff, because he came on the pod, that won the penalty at the end. But a rearguard action defensively by Leicester, some try-saving tackles. Newcastle have improved hugely under Steve Diamond. They scored an absolute worldie of a try off first phase from Ben Redshaw up the middle, split the centres. But Leicester do what they do, went back to type. Julian Montoya scores a driving line out. Jack Van Portfleet, great to see him back. He scored a good try as well, a little snipe and a step. So with his foot injury that we saw just before the World Cup, yeah, great to see JVP back. And then the madness of three yellow cards, about 20 minutes of time in the red clock. I thought Carl Dixon handled it really well. People are like, he should have given a penalty try, but all the penalties were from 25 metres out, scrum penalties, and they were dominating them at scrum time. So they had scrum penalties, they had a couple of offsides and an entry into a ruck, but nothing where you can give a penalty try to win a game.
Well, you say that, Andrew, with some of the decisions we've seen this weekend, like he could have given a penalty try from the halfway line if there was a knock-on in the break.
Anything goes.
Too harsh.
Anything goes.
Anything goes.
But I thought Carl Dixon handled that really well. So we'll give referees kudos where they deserve it. But yeah, Leicester, battling qualities. They've got another battle this weekend. And looking at how Leinster played against the Bulls on Friday night, they've got a hell of an effort on their hands going over to Dublin this weekend. So they need big improvements.
What do you do if you're Leicester?
You ain't sending the kids, are you?
Yeah.
To take 50. You are going fully loaded with Jasper Visa. They played them, in the quarterfinals last year and got run over a little bit. We were both at Mattioli Woods, Welford Road, weren't we, when Leinster came over early in the season. And Leinster had to dig deep for that victory. You know, they had a bit of luck. Leicester were good at times, but just couldn't close that gap between the out-and-out quality that Leinster have. It's going to be a tough ask for them, but good win for Leicester in the Prem. But more drama on Saturday, wasn't there? Where are we going Saturday?
Should we go right into the heart of the drama?
Let's go. Let's go. Quins against Bath.
Quins Bath.
Let's start off with how good Quins were in that first half. Bath were playing touch. Quins ripped them to pieces. You know, everything that they weren't against Saracens the week before, they were on against Bath. They were physical in defence. They were winning collisions both sides of the ball. Esther Hazen with his new lid just sprouting through. He was running over boys for fun. He scored a good try off a line out. Marcus Smith with a bit of magic, the chip and chase, regather scores, and everything was going perfectly for Quins. Bath weren't in the game. They were making errors. Discipline was poor, losing the collisions, losing the kick battle massively. You know, Tyrone Green was out of this world good at times. I love him as a player. I think he's really good. But every week, I think the way he runs or walks, I think his leg's going to snap off. And he's always got one leg heavily taped, and he's quick, he's elusive, but sometimes I'm like, his knee's fucked, or there's something seriously wrong with him. And then he rips out an unbelievable break, a step, his pace, and he's a brilliant player. And Quins were flying, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. They looked good. Marlow was on the bench.
Or maybe that's why. And shout out as well.
I'm joking, but
genuinely, Finn Baxter, who came in for Marlow, and I don't know whether the Quins coaches listened to the pod last week and watched Joe Marler's performance and said, you know, a lot of how shit we were was down to Marlow being Marlow and acting the fool. They dropped him to the bench. Finn Baxter was unbelievable.
He looks good.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, looks about 14.
Yeah, but physical though, made some hits.
But that's the thing with Quins, and again, it's easy to say this now, but you could say this around Saris, you could say it around Bath. But Quins, they are up and down, aren't they? But Quins, when they're on, they're on, aren't they? But they have got an Achilles heel, and that is clearly a mental Achilles heel. You look at last week against Saris, like how you don't get up for that game at the Tottenham Stadium and how you nearly let Bath in, not to win the game, but do you know what I mean? As in to score a bonus point try after getting the pants pulled down in that first half. It maybe just shows the Achilles heel of where Quins are.
What do you mean when Marlow came on, it went Pete Tong for Quins and Bath scored about four tries? Is that what you mean?
No, I'm just saying when there's only 7 minutes in bins, like this is what can happen. Yeah, the chaos.
Yeah.
How does something like that happen in the modern day where you've got about 9 referees, touch judges, you've got someone in the TMO van, you've got the commentators that are feeding in. How does something like that go amiss? Well, maybe give the listeners some context.
Yeah, I mean, Ernie Herbst gets sin-binned on 63 minutes, right? Play carries on, Bath score a try, Finn converts it. Herbst got sin-binned for not being 10 metres from a quick tap penalty, and rightly so. It carries on, Bath are in the ascendancy now attacking. Lewis Liner then gets sin-binned for a slap down. And in all the sort of melee of Lewis Liner getting sin-binned, they just chuck Ernie Herbst back on. And the fourth official, you know, we've seen it on TV where there's 2 yellow card clock countdown timers and it gets to 4 minutes and he's back on the field making tackles. So I've done a bit of digging and there's a bit of responsibility on a few people, but mainly the fourth official who's in charge of sin bins. So it's not necessarily the referee. The referee can't be thinking of how long's the sin bin going on for. The TMO, I think, possibly has a bit of a say in it because he can see the clocks. But ultimately, it's a bit of a team effort. And Quinns would know. And this is the thing. The Quinns team manager has, you know, allowed Herbst to go back on. And in their defence, if the fourth official's saying it's all right, pretty sure every team would just let their player go back on and go, oh, you're not going to say about your own team, oh, he's only had 6.5 minutes of his 10-minute sin bin, are you? He's just going to say, yeah, if he's good to go on you go. So it's a massive cock-up, shall we say, by the officiating team, which pretty much is the fourth official who's in charge of that. There were a couple of sin bins and I don't know whether one stopwatch didn't work, one did. He forgot to press go on one timer. Maybe he just didn't have enough watches on him and they need to get a better watch sponsor as referees. But it's not great, is it? Bath coming back, Ernie Herbst comes back on, makes a few tackles when Bath are really pushing to score more tries. And effectively, I'm not going to say Bath would have won the game, but they end up losing by 4 points. Ernie Herbst has been sin bin for 6.5 minutes. He's come on and made a few big impacts in the 3.5 minutes when he should have still been on the side of the pitch. It looks village, doesn't it? And I said it on Twitter. It looks absolutely village that in this day and age, with all the technology we've got, all the referees, and we see them all, the officials on the sideline, they're all trying to keep people in their box. Don't go onto the field. Don't do this. But you can't count on a clock. You can't use your clock to count down 10 minutes. So it's not a good look. Quinn's got away with it. The statement's come out. They've apologised. It's another apology. You know, obviously what happened last week, they tried to sweep it under the carpet and say with Stuart Terridge that it was checked before, so it wasn't a reactionary. But we all know it was a reactionary. I can't call it up now because Austin said it on comms. But this week they've come out, said it's a mistake. They apologised. And there is human error. Listen, people make errors. But if you've got one job to count down how long 10 minutes is for in a sin bin, even if there's 2 boys in the sin bin, you better do it properly. So the result stands. It has to be a massive learning for the game. It can never happen again. You know, in this age of professionalism and how it is, you just can't make those errors. And it's a really bad look. But one that unfortunately everyone just has to move on from.
But Quinns were good. So yeah. I see I finished on a positive there.
Yeah, they were. And they took their foot off the gas a little bit. Bath came back. Alfie Barbary was good in that second half. You know, Finn started producing a bit of magic and off they went. So yeah, 2 massive bonus points for Bath in the grand scheme of things as well, with the 4 tries and the losing bonus point as well. So that's the same as what Saracens got. And it keeps Bath in second spot, which we've always seen in the run-ins and we've always seen semi-finals. The majority of semi-finals are won by the home team, aren't they, in the Premiership? So huge 2 points for Bath. When your pants are around your ankles, your skids are on show, 40 points to 3 down, to fight back like that, they've done exceptionally well.
Should we stick with negative and positive and just shoot straight to Sunday to get the other yellow card decision out of the way?
There was another one in the Gloucester-Bristol game that not many people have picked up on. I saw it.
Go on then, TMO. Go on then, Andrew. Let's peel back. Yeah. Get to that one.
Well, first and foremost, shout out to Bristol, the only team that have gone 2 from 2 since the return in the Premiership. Gloucester, as we know, had a good win up at Leicester last Friday. Local derby at King's Home. Worldy of a finish in the first half from Hathaway for Gloucester. I mean, this kid Hathaway, it was a great finish. And Bristol are playing some really good rugby, right? Gloucester were on fire. Santi Carreras gets an intercept Gloucester were going really well. And then you get to the second half when it starts getting tighter. You look at the scoreline, it ends up 33-24 to Bristol. There's a huge try on 66 minutes from Magnus Bradbury. And it's a really good try, but it's illegal to start off with. So Fitz Harding picks up the ball from a ruck and makes a break up the middle of the field. But he picks it up from an offside position straight in front of the ref. And it leads to a big break, couple of offloads. Magnus Bradbury goes over in the corner, a pivotal moment of the game. I've watched the replay. He's offside where he picks the ball up from. Harry hasn't seen that, so Gloucester fans were raging with it. It's a minor point, but it's still a big point, I think, when it's led straight to a try. But Bristol were good. Yancey van Rensburg at centre, worldy of performance. Apparently he qualifies for England in a couple of years. He scored a try, sat people down for fun. Bristol have spent the last 6 or 7 weeks working really hard. They've still got a sniff of top four, 2 from 2, big win at Gloucester. Some lovely offloading. Shout out to ex-Wasp Gabriel Ogre as well. He scored a worldie of a try, great footwork. But yeah, another refereeing error at a crucial moment in the game, I think, that led to a Bristol try. But they deserve the win, Jim. Jim, did you actually watch any rugby at the weekend?
Andrew, I did, mate. I'm just letting you go because I know you have gone into detail and the devil is in the detail. I just want to reiterate, I have got the children. I've driven down south. Beck's dad's internet connection's not great. He doesn't have TNT. I've got it on my phone.
Yeah.
So I'm flip-flopping between TNT on my phone and Viaplay whilst being spoken to, whilst the kids are telling me they're starving, even though they've had six-course meals throughout the day. On your phone, for example, when you're watching it, like one, it's quite glitchy on there because the Wi-Fi isn't great and you're watching it on 4G or 3G or 5G or whatever it is. But like normally I'd watch it on the big screen at home and you'd stop, you'd rewind, you'd record the game. So if there was bits that you missed, absolute chaos. So I have watched the games. I watched the game on Friday between Northampton and my Saracens. I also watched the Leinster and Bulls game. But watching it on your phone, especially when you're 6'10" and your phone's the size of a fag box, it's hard, mate. It's hard. The kids are screaming. So demanding.
Yeah.
That's why we've got you here, Andrew, to go and give us the devils of the detail.
Yeah, I do like a bit of detail. But I took the kids up to see my old man. My old man's out of hospital. I tried to palm the kids off with Dad for a little bit. But good news, my old man's out of hospital. So then Sunday, Jim, should we get onto Sunday?
Go on, let's do it. Where do you want to go?
Well, there's only one game for me on Sunday. And that was Sale taking on Exeter.
It was the only game.
It was. Sale were very good. Physical. Offloading game was class. I think they get pigeonholed a little bit with just being this big physical South African team with Manu and a few big lads. But they actually...
Oh, they are.
They've got that in them. Of course they have. But also, they had some deft touches at the weekend. Roebuck scores a hat-trick. Some really nice handling.
Yeah, a big fan of him, by the way.
He's a big lad. Fan of him. He's a big lad as well. They were very dominant. And Exeter were error-strewn, poorly disciplined, some silly penalties gave away. But I've got another beef with the ref.
Oh, gosh.
Hamish Smales. He doesn't smell, but Hamish Smales.
He looks like you.
No, he doesn't.
Is that the your beef? Because no, he looks like
he
you.
He looks nothing like
yes,
me.
Yes, he does.
He looks,
Andrew.
He's got a massive penalty spot on the top of his head.
So just the fact that he's got a penalty spot where he's not invested in getting that fixed.
Yeah.
And remember, if you go back a few years, he knows about it as well. Because when the wide camera went on top, he put his hand on top of his head. I feel your pain, brother. Okay, that's fine. Andrew, if there is anyone in our rugby fraternity that you look like, there is no one closer anywhere
in
our rugby family.
Poor bloke.
You'll take it. You look like Hamish Nails.
Oh dear, poor bloke. Eh? Poor bloke looking like me. But shout out to Roebuck, first ever hat trick. I thought he was brilliant. Manu was firing pretty well. Luke Karansicki played well against his old team. They looked powerful. The Dupreer boys were banging everything that came their way. And yeah, those Curry boys, I know Tom's out injured, but Ben was back from injury. How good was he? Like, they are so strong. Absolute freaks of nature, those two. Sitting boys down, whoever's playing, whoever's a Curry twin, whenever they don, whatever jersey they don, they are freaks. Smashing boys, chopping boys, carrying hard. And Ben Curry certainly had a worldy performance.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, Jim, let's chat URC. The Investec Champions Cup is back this weekend, but it was URC at the weekend, some big games. You watched it on your phone. What you got for us? Where should we start off? Leinster on Friday night against the Bulls, top of the table clash?
Yeah, actually, scoreline doesn't reflect the large part of the game, to be honest. Seven tries Leinster scored, and the Bulls, and we know how good the Bulls are. Poor lads having to travel again, which I don't agree with. Have I said that before?
You have.
Yeah, I know. Leinster, half noise, I would say. I mean, the squad that they picked was full noise, really, but
hell of a bench.
Yeah, we just look at the names. I know we're going over old ground here, but as we look forward to the Champions Cup at the weekend, it's like, if Leinster are on, which is effectively Ireland plus a few, I just don't know how you beat them. And then you see the Bulls, right? So Bulls, the South African teams, are arguably the teams in the URC that can give Leinster some problems.
Yeah.
And Leinster put nearly 50 points on them at the weekend, 7-1. And they're probably in fourth gear.
Yeah.
Right, because they know that this game at the weekend, the Investec Champions Cup, is the one that they want to win. But if you go into it, yeah, very, very good. Bulls physical in the first half, very direct, but very kind of one-dimensional. Rob Russell on the wing played well for Leinster. I like the look of Jamie Osborne at 12 as well.
Yeah.
But just the complete team. Yeah, Ronan Keller played well at hooker. There's talk of him potentially moving on from Leinster.
Really?
So you can get a proper shot because you've got... Where? Yeah, well, you've got Dan Sheehan. He's starting, isn't he? I don't know.
Ulster?
Oh, maybe.
Munster?
I don't know, it feels like a bigger move, doesn't it, for Leinster going to Ulster as opposed to Leinster to Munster. I don't know, maybe I'm being political. Oh. I don't really know. But yeah, there is talk of that. You know, would that be big news? You could see it happening. Would Ronan want to leave Leinster? But you've got Dan Sheehan, who's clearly first choice at the minute. Mate, Leinster's just good. I don't even know where to go, where to talk about it. Just however which way you look at it.
Well, they were helped, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, hang on. What do you mean they were helped?
Yeah, I've got a bit of an issue with the ref again, Jim, and the TMO. Who are my mates, these two? We'll start off when Kurt Lee Aronser, what a name, Kurt Lee. Imagine your name is Kurt Lee. He's a world of a player. He scores a world of a try.
And you play like that.
Yeah.
He played really well. He played really well, to be fair. Every time he gets the ball, he looks dangerous, of course. He starts on the wing for South Africa, so he's going to.
Yeah, well, it starts when he's scoring his try, and it was a brilliant try. But as we know, Luke McGrath comes across and tackles him with his head on head, at full pace, as he's scoring a try. And my mate, referee Craig Evans, the best teeth you've ever seen as a referee, like Turkey, has taken him down.
But that's what I mean. Like, that's one of them. If you're going to get your teeth done, you don't get them done like that, do you? You don't make it as obvious. But that's what they do in Wales. Yeah. They have tribal tattoos and Maori tattoos. They do not give a shit.
Yeah.
He's gone there and they've said, what do you want? And he's put the biggest gum shield in his mouth and said, can you do these? And they've said, bang, here you go. How do they look, sir?
Amazing.
I'm happy with them.
Amazing.
I'm happy with them.
He's a legend, Craig Evans. The best, biggest teeth you've ever seen. And then Ben Whitehouse, my mate as well. TMO, Ben Whitehouse. It's a red card every day of the week for Luke McGrath, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, yes.
How they've got to a yellow for that, I've got no idea. He has smashed him full on, upright.
But I'm also thinking that they've changed the way in which they're doing. Like Sam Lousy, there was one, I think it was on Horn at the weekend for the Scarlets versus Glasgow. He's come across and literally taken his head off. And it's like, well, it's a yellow card. They've given a yellow card. So I'm seeing these things unfold now where there's always going to be yellow and red cards, right?
Yeah.
There's some more obvious than others. I don't know. There's just been like a change at the minute, isn't there? Of like, let them deal with that after. Like, that's what it feels like. Luke McGrath, is he going to get banned for that? Is there going to be a sanction after the game? In a way, I'm like, well, yeah, let's just do it like that because it's happening in rugby. There are high collisions. So I always go back to Will Spencer, who got the first red card for an adjusting defender, which was high. Do you remember? And we were all like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Danny Cipriani as well for Gloucester, where he was the adjusting defender and he went high.
Yeah.
Where there was no force. Do you remember when we initially went on this movement, if you want to call it that? Then you're seeing ones now where like there's force, there's speed. And look, Luke McGrath's not meant to do that, Kurt Lee Aronson. Like he's coming across as defender, timing's out, timing's wrong, however you want to say it. But then you look at Sam Lousy, where he come across and he's the chasing defender, if you want to call it that, and he takes the head off George Horn. So there are ones where they're more obvious, but I am a big advocate for letting them deal with it on a Monday, Tuesday. Not outlawing red cards, but I've always said it, red cards for headbutting, biting, gouging, stamping and punching. Do you know what I mean? As in out and out violent red cards. I think the ones where they're done in tackles, I'm happy for them to deal with it at the weekend. But in terms of months gone by,
yeah.
Luke McGrath is a red card on Curtly Aronson. Like, yeah. He's tiny as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I imagine there could be a ban coming off the back of that. But when you look at the Bulls lineup, and this shows you just how good Leinster are, and when you're watching it unfold at the weekend, and they were in it, especially in the first half of the game, you've got Curtly Aronson, who you mentioned, wicked Springbok, Willie LaRue as well. Like, he looked good. You've got Caden Moody, been talking about him. Houssam was at 10. You've got Wilco Lowe at tight head as well. Elric Lowe in the back row. Marcel Kutsia as well, who was at Ulster, carving up. He looks very good. Aka van der Merwe, who's Duane's brother, who is standout when he was at Sale as well. He was wicked. Like, they're a proper team. Like, yeah. Physically, like, they don't get flustered in terms of, like, mentally up and down. Like, they're an old school kind of South African outfit, and Leinster score 7 tries against them.
Yeah.
And the Bulls beat them, if you remember, in the semi-final a couple of years ago.
Maybe there was a bit of that in there. The Bulls, you know, they've won a game last week. You know, does it matter? Of course it matters. But, you know, there's a Investec Champions Cup last 16 game. I think they're at home to Lyon this weekend, which you'd expect them to win comfortably. And against the emotion, isn't it? You talk about the emotion of some of the Premiership teams. The Bulls, you play in the top team. Leinster's emotion was probably a lot higher off the back of losing that semi-final a couple of years ago. That will still hurt. But yeah, Leinster look good. They look primed. Obviously, everyone that's following the games at the weekend will expect Leinster to beat Leicester. And then they've got to take on either the Stormers or La Rochelle in the quarterfinals. So they are brimming nicely. A little bit of help from the refs for not red carding Luke McGrath, but they certainly had 35 unanswered points in that second half and were class.
Sharks as well, the Hollywood Bet Sharks. We've got the jersey. They beat #always.
They did.
Down in Durban as well. So that's two wins on the spin.
Couple of wins
them.
On the bounce now.
There you go. Couple of wins on the bounce. And they've got some big signings coming. Andre Esterhazen from Quinns is going. So you actually look at the makeup of their team. Again, just to give people context, if you've got Hollywood Bet Sharks, big shout out to Marco, a good friend of mine. I head to New York to his jazz bar soon. Looking forward to that. But you look at the profile of their team, Goody. They've got Oxenche, Bongi Mbanambi, Ebenezer Beth. They've got that James Venter in the back row, who's good. Vincent Tinshuka as well at 7, who is a class player. Lekanye Am as well in the centre at 13. Makazola.
Ma Pimpy.
And you've got Werner Kock on the wing as well. So that's just to name a few of their players. Like, they've got a proper team. They've just not clicked at all this season. So with a few signings, #always Edinburgh going down there was always going to be tough. But a much needed win for the Hollywood Bet Sharks.
Yeah. You talk about much needed wins, Jim. The big one, the basement battle. The Dragons, I ain't even calling them the Dregs this week because they won. The Dragons beat Zebra 20 points to 13. Absolute humdinger.
Yeah. Everyone's going all about Italian rugby at the minute. I don't know if you saw the article that Mark Evans posted about what Australian rugby should do and Wales rugby should do is basically follow the Italian model. But the Drags, just put that to bed just for one week only, of course. It's tough down there. You know, Andrew, you know what? Like, as in, we sit here and laugh. I watched a bit of the Scarlets Glasgow game to the point where you could see it was going to be a cricket score for Glasgow. And I thought, what are they going to do in Wales? Like, you can see them now. When I look at the fans in the stadium for the Scarlets Glasgow game, and there's no fans. There's basically none. Like, it's like a team run.
Yeah.
It's like, that ain't sustainable. And we'll maybe talk about another time with the losses that the clubs have had that are starting to come out for the end of year profits or revenue, however you're talking about in the finance world. But you look at the Welsh teams, like, how that it just isn't sustainable, is it?
No.
Like, as in, the fans, I know Ospreys are talking of moving the Drags, the atmosphere down there, but the Scarlets, who were a massive team a few years ago, just think how good they were a few years ago when Welsh rugby was thriving. That is not sustainable.
No.
So I don't know whether there's something around the corner, and that performance on the pitch against Glasgow, who were in third gear, and they put nearly 50 points on them, and it was just a comfortable win.
Yeah.
And I really liked Wayne Peelback. I love him. Yeah. Love him as a bloke. Tough old job. He went from Bristol to Ulster, back home, to try and take over his home franchise. No investment. No fans, no wins, unfortunately. So it's tough down there, and I hope they come through it. But good win for Glasgow. And again, it's like a race to the top eight, isn't it? Like, Edinburgh are out of that top eight. They're ninth at the minute. Ulster, who played really well, actually, against the Stormers at the weekend. I tweeted it. The best they've played probably all season. Stormers were poor. Kicking game was poor. Manny Lubok was off a little bit in that game, but they reverted back to type after about 50-odd minutes. Route 1 China. Even then, when they reverted to type and the Stormers were going Route 1 and going up the guts, Ulster were fighting for everything. They were battling for everything. Stephen Kitsoff looked very good against his old club. To call Ulster home, and then you actually go to Cape Town, you're thinking, what the hell am I doing? The changes that they've had as well. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Not just losing your coach, losing the CEO, everything around that, the talk of the investment in Ulster. Billy Burns is leaving to go to Munster as well. So there are a few issues at Ulster, but you've got players in that team. Timoney was really good as well. John Cooney looked really good. But yeah, that was a proper game as well. And Ulster are still in the hunt for that top eight as well. But Stormers came away with it. They're sitting in fifth.
The top eight's quite tight, isn't it? Even, you know, down to the Lions in 11th. They're on 34 points. And that's going to be the big talking point over the rest of the season for them, because there's still quite a few games left. You know, anyone from the Lions, Connacht, Edinburgh, Ulster, Osprey. Ospreys had a great win against the Lions. Shout out to the Ospreys. We're bagging Welsh rugby pretty regularly because we have to. Ospreys have quietly been going about their business. You know, they're up in seventh in the playoff mix as well. So shout out to Toby Booth. I do like Toby Booth. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's doing good things at Ospreys, I think.
Again, it must be tough as well. I mean, like back-to-back wins for Ospreys as well, under the radar. But I think they're doing the best with what they've got. Maybe there's an argument to say that like blooding younger Welsh players is going to be beneficial down the road. Again, the Italian model that everyone's talking about. So we're sat here talking like Italy have just won the Six Nations. They haven't. But having a group of these youngsters
coming
through.
They pretty much did for
themselves. Hey, we had most of the players named in the Six Nations team of the tournament, even though Scotland were above them. But yeah, the race to eight in the URC is going to be interesting, Andrew. But as we know, the way that rugby works, there's another break in the Premiership and the URC because it's the Investec Champions Cup, Andrew.
It is. Last 16 this weekend, back-to-back weekends, last 16, then the quarterfinals. You can map out how your team's going to get on because you can see effectively who you might play in the quarterfinals next weekend if you do win. And there's some mouthwatering ties, James, isn't there?
They've already played each other, though, didn't they? in the round before.
Yeah, they did. But that's forgotten now, isn't it? It was that long ago that it's like a fresh set of games. You know, had it have been really quick, oh, you've got to play them again in a knockout game, then that's a big thing. But you look at it, some mouthwatering ties. Stormers, La Rochelle, I think it's going to be amazing. Yes, they played each other in a group.
That'll be good.
You know, and you go back to the game, Marnie Labotte kicks the conversion to win it with the last kick of the game. So that'll be a hell of a game. Bordeaux, who had a defeat on the road this weekend, they play Saracens. That's going to be a massive game.
Them.
They did spank them earlier in the competition as well, didn't they? So that'll be interesting.
That was the line in the sand that Mark McCall said. The line in the sand where they had to take a good look at themselves. I was going to go to that game, actually, with a couple of mates. Leave Centre Parks just on like Saturday morning. Go down, fly from London, fly over, fly back. But
are you going?
In fact, I'm going.
Yeah,
I might go.
There you go.
I was going to see. I'm going to see how the drive over on Friday to Centre Parks is. If it's awful, I'm going to say I've got work.
Yeah.
So, but then if Beck listens to the podcast, you'll know that I'm lying. So, but yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, hell of a game.
Yeah.
Leinster, Leicester. I think a lot of people think Leinster are going to win that comfortably. And then two big games on Sunday as well. Saints against Munster. That's a mouthwatering game.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Don't like a 12:30 kickoff.
Nah, a bit early.
Never liked it as a player. Still half asleep.
Yeah, a bit early on a Sunday. And then finishing the weekend with Toulouse against Racing. Did you see it the weekend? What about this for a substitution? DuPont starting at 10 for Toulouse. Off you come, son. Off you get. Roman on Tamac.
He's back.
On you go. Looks $1 million as well already.
Yeah, he does, yeah. I mean, them two are just completely class acts for rugby, aren't they? But flying, that's going to be class. Actually, the Sunday games, out of all of them, they're the probably two. If I was to pick out two games, it would be the Northampton-Munster game, the Toulouse-Racing game on the Sunday. Mate, actually, you know what? They're all pretty good, to be fair. The Leicester-Leinster, I think we can agree, is probably a foregone conclusion. Bulls-Leon, I'd be interested to see how Leon travel down to South Africa, which is tough. Exeter-Bath, Bath are flying, but it's a Prem game.
I'm going Bath with that one. The big one I can't wait for, actually, is the opener. Friday night, Quins against Glasgow, with the form that Glasgow are in as well. And they both play a similar brand of rugby, don't they? That should be a belter.
Yeah, it should, yeah. Glasgow lost at home in the Investec Champions Cup to Northampton, had the pants pulled down.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, so it's good. Champions Cup, as we've said, Andrew, getting to this point, this is where we wanted to get to. And I know there's a process along the way and the pool stages. You sold the round of 16 to me. I'm actually all in on that. I love the fact that now it's a knockout. We're straight in. So we've almost bypassed the last round. We're into this round and it's knockout. Yeah. And it's proper from here on in.
It is. I'm going to get the kids in Kids Club in Dubai and I shall watch it from the Sun Lounger, I reckon, with a beer. A nice cold beer in the sun. 30 degrees, loving life.
Andrew, I hate you. Do you think they're showing this in Centre Parks or not?
Get yourself to Bordeaux, mate. The sunshine will be out. There's red wine to be drunk. And there'll be no kids.
It's work, isn't it? It's work.
It's work, Jim. There you go.
I've got to. Yeah. I can't concentrate at home with a kid screaming, but I can't concentrate here at Centre Parks. I've got to get over to Bordeaux, and see rugby live for the first time in 2-3 weeks. Otherwise, I'm not doing my job properly.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm going to Bordeaux.
I'm
going to Bordeaux.
I'm going!
Right, should we do some predictions then, Andrew? Let's speed through. Predictions, Quins, Glasgow, Friday night, who wins?
I go Quins by 5.
Yeah, through gritted teeth. I agree.
Bulls, Leon, Jim?
I'm going to go Bulls. Travelling down to Pretoria. Long way to go for Leon. Bulls going to be pissed off after the weekend. Big score against Leinster. I don't know if it'll be comfortable. Leon are good, but Bulls are at home.
Yeah. Bulls at home at altitude, Jim. I don't think Leon have got a chance.
Oh, gosh. Altitude as well. Yeah, altitude as well. You hanging. Yeah. I was struggling to breathe just walking around with a coffee in my hand. So, yeah the Leon lads with the fag lungs, the Chris Packett lungs. Yeah, we'll speed through, Andrew. Exeter, Bath.
I'm going to go Bath. I think they'll squeak it. Yeah, just experience. The feel-good they got at the end of that Quins game. Exeter took a drubbing. It's a young team. Orfeo Wiboso looks good every time he touches the ball. But yeah, I'm going to go Bath by 6.
Oh, yeah, I'll go Bath by 9. I hate doing the score prediction bit, but that's fine. We've got to do it.
There we go. Stormers against La Rochelle. That's a tough one.
That's probably is the game of the weekend. I said the two Sunday ones, but Stormers, La Rochelle. Mate, I don't know. Like, I haven't seen much top 14 with La Rochelle, but we know that they've scraped through as champions, back-to-back champions. They want to build a dynasty under Ronan O'Gara. I don't know, mate, it's a hard one to call.
It is.
Hard one to call. Stormers were off at the weekend against Ulster, but they came back in the second half. They would have got a roasting by Dobbo, friend of the show. I just think La Rochelle. I don't know why. I've got a feeling that's not based on any stats I've seen. It's not based on form guide. It's based on them being back-to-back champions. And I imagine in that club, everything has been building towards this match. So I'm going to go La Rochelle, but for no other reason than the reasons I've just given, which aren't that deep-rooted.
I'm going to agree with you, James. They should have beaten them over in Cape Town in the group stages. I think it was a high shot that got a try canned that ended up turning the game around. Yeah, I'm going to go La Rochelle by 3.
Oh, okay. Bordeaux versus Saris. I'll be there.
You're definitely going.
Mate, it's hard to call because with like Bordeaux, again, we were talking about it a few weeks ago when we were chatting about the Champions Cup. I never really spoke about Bordeaux. But they got Damien Penno. So they're unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? I know I'm just naming one player, but they're not, because I don't watch a huge amount of top 14. It's like, I'm old school. So in my mind, I'm like Toulouse, a bit of Racing. Like I follow a bit of Stade Francais because Guzzi's there as well. And that's it, really. Perpignan. I don't know why. I always wish a sign for Perpignan. But Bordeaux have never come across my mind until they spanked Saris.
55-15, Jim, it was.
Take note of Bordeaux and what they're building down there. But I just think maybe it's a bit of bias. Maybe it's because how well Saris played against Quins, the fact that they weren't great on Friday night against Northampton Saints. They want to give Faz a send-off. Will Maro Itoje be back? He's struggling with a little bit of a training ground injury that he got from a line-out. I'm just going to back the boys.
You're backing Saris?
I'm going to say Saris.
Yeah.
But again, this is based on love as opposed to any kind of stats or insight.
Yeah. I'm going to go Bordeaux, BLBRE, Penno, Moefana.
He's good.
Yeah, Luku.
Oh, God.
Roman Burros at fullback. They've got some players and they're very hard to beat on their own patch. So I think Saris will put in a big performance, but the scar of what happened to them there before, I think Bordeaux will have too much. So I'm going to go Bordeaux by 8. Sorry, Saris. Leinster against Leicester Tigers, James.
Sorry, Leicester. I do love you, but you go into an impossible place. But I say that, it could be as throwaway that Leicester get the pants pulled down and we see the Ireland-England thing. But I think actually England beating Ireland makes this game even more big for Leinster because Leicester have got a few of the England players. They need George Martin. I don't know what his injury situation is, Goody, but he's massive for them. Ollie Chesham obviously rested this week, will play against Leicester this week. Jack Van Poortvliet is got a couple of games under his belt, looked better against Newcastle, but this is fucking Leinster at home, fully loaded.
Aviva.
Oh, is it the Aviva? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
This is the competition for Leinster. No disrespect to the URC. The Investec Champions Cup is the one that they want to win. And I just think they are primed. Where Ireland, Six Nations champions, and that the backbone of the team for Leinster is the Irish team.
Yeah.
So for that reason alone, I'd be very surprised if Leicester even come close. But I want Leicester to win.
Yeah, I hear you. Heart wants Leicester, head says Leinster comfortably. You can't deny how good Leinster are in this competition until they get to a final over the last few years. And I think that will roll on at the Aviva. Leicester will put up a much better fight than a lot of people expect, but I'm going Leinster by 12, maybe 15.
Oh, that's all right.
15.
Okay, that's respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Northampton, Munster.
Yeah, tough one to call.
Looking forward to this one. Northampton, very good. Munster were all right against Cardiff. Jack Crowley got them out of danger a few times. Scored a decent try. Waltzed through the Cardiff defence.
They've got pedigree, though, haven't they? They've got Champions Cup pedigree. And they've always got big performances.
Yes, they have. I see Munster as a big team. I always see Munster. Again, old school. Paul O'Connell, Ronan O'Gara, Donico O'Callaghan, like your Quinlans, your David Wallace's, you know what I mean? Like, as in, I've got like the John Hayes, Doug Howlett as well, Keith Earls, Peter Omani.
Yeah.
You know, I know none of these players are playing. Peter Omani will be playing. But you know what I mean? Like, as in,
yeah.
I've just got this kind of old school Munster Champions Cup, and they're good now. They've now got their 10 in Jack Crowley, Craig Casey, Peter Omani, RG Snyman as well.
Oh, he's back, yeah.
So they've got some big players. Hodnett as well in the back row is good. Got some good players, Munster have.
Let's not forget, Saints went over there and won in round four, didn't they? Curtis Langdon got sent off in the first half, yet they still went on to win. Finn Smith was outstanding that day. I'm going to back Saints. It's at home. They're going to try and play at a tempo again. You know, they were good at home on Friday night. Extra couple of days rest as well. Finn Smith on fire. Dingwall and Freeman, good.
Dingwall was good at the weekend as well.
He was class.
How well did he speak after? Like, as in proper lad?
Yeah, nice boy. Nice boy. Yeah, I'm going to go Saints by only two. It's going to be close. It's going to be an absolute humdinger, but Saints by two.
Oh, I think Saints win by more. And I feel bad because we nearly got Jack Crowley on the podcast today. I would have said opposite if he was on, but I'm going to go Saints by 10. I think they look bloody good at home. Best stadium in the Prem as well. From grass, I don't mean in terms of atmosphere.
Pitch.
Just the pitch. The pitch.
Yeah. Then last one, Jim. Toulouse against Racing. Toulouse at home.
I don't really know. They're at home. Again, deep history in the competition. For Racing 92, Sir Calise is out injured. He had an operation on his hand. I'm not saying that he's the only reason. I watched Racing against Bath. They were poor. But Toulouse, they got Intermat back. They got DuPont. They're at home. It's on a Sunday. Fags are out. Sun's out. Doesn't get any better.
Espresso's everywhere.
Doesn't get any better.
Mate, espresso and a sink. Exactly. Perfect. Within a glass of red afterwards.
Sell the breath that. We are stereotyping like a mofo.
Mirfu will be playing as well, the mofo.
Mofo.
Yeah, I'm going to go Toulouse as well at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go Toulouse. Yeah, mofo for man of the match. You mofo.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going Toulouse as well. Racing will, you know, chuck the ball around and create havoc, but I just think Toulouse have way too much quality with some of the players. Cyril Bai, Flamont, mate, they are a proper team and they've got a decent draw to go all the way this year, I think. So I'm going Toulouse by 10, actually. Toulouse by 10, James.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll just copy you. Just follow suit.
There we go.
Right, Andrew, let's finish off things with your segment, the good, the bad and the ugly. I was going to say it's brought to you by Maul and Broad, but we've had a load of orders come in and I ain't at home and neither's Beck.
Oh God.
Basically distribution is paused. On holiday for Easter.
Yeah, paused. It's bank holidays, mate.
So we've got a few orders already that obviously I can't post out because I'm in London. Beck's in Cov. We're going to Centre Parks. Don't rob the house. If you do, leave them all on board because that needs to be posted out. Yeah. So if you're waiting for your orders...
Take the dildos.
No, don't take that. Rob needs one to get his ankle strapped, so do not take them. But Maul and Brawl, if you're wanting some and you're happy to wait, you go to maulandbrawl.com, get your shower gel, get your moisturiser, get your beard oil, We don't do Easter eggs, thankfully. I bloody hate Easter. Who has
chocolate
Easter eggs?
Mate, I love it, mate. I just eat all the chocolate.
That's because you get holiday.
Yeah, off to dupes. Anyway, let's start off with the good then. We'll go to Super Rugby to begin with. The Brumbies beat the Reds away 20 points to 19. They've now played 6-1-5, so good stuff from the Brumbies. What else is good? The Hurricanes destroyed the Highlanders 47 points to 12 away from home. They're played 6-1-6. The Hurricanes are top. Wales's Johnny McNichol gets a shout out. He scored 2 tries on his first start for the Crusaders, who got a win, Jim. The Saders eventually won. They beat the Chiefs. So big shout out to Johnny McNichol scoring 2 on his first start for the Crusaders. Let's go to the top 14. Stade Francais won 12 points to 10 at Montpellier to sit top of the top 14. They are flying.
We should get a trip out.
There we go.
To Stade Francais. Been chatting to Guzzi.
Yeah.
He's quirky as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, he's keen to do some weird stuff. I don't know why what that's got to do with us going to Paris
with
and
Paris,
him doing
mate.
Weird things.
A lot of weird shit happens in Paris.
I think we should take Rob on a lead.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. I don't know why a lead.
With his ankle strapped or not?
Well, we need the thing that's in his ankle to keep it strapped and keep it tight and keep it straight. Let's get to Paris and do some weird shit.
There we go. Perpignan get a mansion in the good as well. They hammered Cast 43 points to 12 to move away from the relegation zone. Toulon smashed Bayonne 46 points to 10 away from home, so big shout out to Toulon. And Henry Arundel gets a shout out. His try for Racing in the first minute against Clermont was an absolute worldie of a try from the whole team. Offloads galore. Silly good rugby. So big shout out to Racing and Henry Arundel. We're going to get to the Championship, James. And Ampt Hill get a mention in the good this week.
Yeah.
They beat the Ealing Trailblazers 29 points to 21 in what their head coach described as the club's best result in their history. It's a big shout out to the Ampt Hill boys.
Big shout out. Could they go up though?
No.
Could they go up?
No, they can't. You've got to walk 4 miles from the changing room to the pitch, so definitely not. Over to the URC. The Dragons are not called the Dregs this week. They get a mention in the good. They won the basement battle 20 points to 13 against Zebra. Leinster scored 35 unanswered points in the second half against the Bulls to win the top of the table clash, 47 points to 14. And the Ospreys get a shout out in the good, Jim. They had a big win against the Lions, 36 points to 21. So big shout out to Toby Booth and his men. Glasgow did the business at the Scats, beating them 45 points to 3 and looking good now in second spot for Glasgow. So some decent action coming out of the URC. In the Premiership, it was bounce back wins for Saints. Finn Smith was class against Saracens, so big shout out to him and Saints. Quins were brilliant for 60 minutes against Bath. The Sharks, they got a big win, 41 points to 5 against Exeter. Tom Roebuck gets a big shout out for his first career hat trick. But the good this week, Jim, is going to go to Bristol's. They're 2 from 2 in the run-in. And Bernard Yancey van Rensburg, he got 15 carries, 135 metres, 11 defenders beaten, and 1 try. And that's why Bristol's and Bernard Yancey van Rensburg wins the good this week.
He was always looking good for Irish as well, wasn't he?
He was.
So good to see him at Bristol's doing his shit.
Hell of a player. The bad few bits of bad. We're going to start off with the Waratahs. They lost at home to the Rebels and their record is now played 6-1-1, lost 5. Bayonne get a mention of the bad. They got hosed at home by Toulon. The Scats, they're going to get a mention of the bad. Of course they are. The Scarlets, they had their biggest ever home defeat, losing 45 points to 3 to Glasgow. Zebra get a shout out in the bad this week. They lost at the Dragons. Who loses at the Dragons, Jim?
I don't know. Not me.
Absolutely no one, apart from Zebra. So they're bottom of the top 14. But the bad this weekend has to go to the officiating over the weekend, starting off with the timekeeper at the Harlequins game, giving Ernie Herbst a yellow card for 6.5 minutes, going on to all sorts of other things that we've discussed. The officiating over the weekend across both leagues, the URC and the Premiership, wasn't good enough. And that's why collectively, I'm not going to name names, but you're all getting the bad. All of you. Get better week on week.
But there could be redemption here by Luke Pearce chopping a pint for every bad decision, because you said it started on Saturday.
Yeah.
It started on Friday night for me. So, Luke, I owe you big time.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a really cold, fizzy, teeth fall out a pint of cider.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Well, don't get Craig Evans in then. If your teeth fall out, don't get Craig Evans involved.
They ain't falling out. They are drilled in to the eye sockets.
There we go. And then let's finish off with the ugly. Two bits of ugly. Sam Lousy's hit, as we spoke about earlier, for the Scarlets, but also The ugly this week is going to go to Luke McGrath for his head-on-head tackle on Kurt Lee Aronsa. It's a red all day long in my book, not a yellow card, so we shall see what happens on that. So that's why Luke McGrath wins the ugly.
All righty then. Andrew, we've both got a big shout out to do. So it's a big shout out to everyone in Hong Kong. Hello, how are you doing? I personally wish I was there. Andrew, do you wish you were there?
I wish I was, mate, but I'm away with the family. I'm going to miss Hong Kong. Joe Bananas, what a place.
Yeah, you say that, heaven and hell. But what is a good place is the dinner that everyone's at tonight, Goody. We've been there, haven't we? We were on stage, off our rocker. We're off our rocker the night before and the night before that. So when we were on stage, was it last year?
It was last year. Yeah, it was last year, James. Yeah, it was good fun.
Oh my gosh, absolutely hanging. The Coco Boys are there. The podcast down in Australia. So Gitz and Drew Mitchell. I'm going to say Adam Ashley Cooper's there as well. But when I went on their podcast, he didn't even speak to me. He actually walked out halfway through it. So big shout out to them lads again. But Goody, it's a big shout out to everyone at the Doddy event on the Wednesday night, which, as we know, has become synonymous now with the Hong Kong Sevens Week. Yeah. So Martin Murray, everyone involved in the Doddy Foundation. Andrew, I know that you want to say a few words as well because we are very affiliated and aligned with the Doddy Foundation.
Yeah, everyone have an amazing evening. The Doddy Dinner is the best event in Hong Kong this week. Dig deep, donate as much as you can, get drunk, donate even more, and let's have an amazing evening. Wish we were there with you. We'll be back next year. So enjoy tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, enjoy tonight. And don't worry, tomorrow when you're feeling really rough and there's a lot of guilt, Drew and Gitz, it will pass. It takes a good week to get over it, but it will pass.
It does.
Big shout out, everyone. Enjoy.
Yeah, have an amazing evening.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, James. And thank you to producer Rob.
Of course, he's been silent today.
He has. Thanks, everyone else, for listening as well. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube and make sure you've subscribed on Spotify.
Oh, that a boy. Rugby Spot.
Spotter pod.